Sherrards is a leading law firm based in St Albans and London, offering a broad range of legal services to support businesses and private individuals across the UK and internationally. Many of the company's solicitors are leaders in their fields and have a reputation for delivering high-quality legal services based on excellence, which includes providing fully tailored solutions based on a commitment to understanding their clients and their businesses. In this second of a series of Your Life and the Law features, Donna Payne, Senior Solicitor and Mediator at Sherrards, looks at what happens when someone dies unexpectedly and does not have a valid will. Now, I'm going to get this out of the way right from the start, Donna. Making a will is like signing your death warrant, isn't it? I'm so scared to make a will.
Kerry, you are not alone. It is surprising the number of people that believe by making a will they will bring forward the date of their death. But I can tell you I have researched this extensively and there is no scientific proof to that belief. Making a will does not mean you're going to die.
So talk us through the rights and wrongs, because for example, in my personal life, I'm with my two children. I need to start thinking about making a will, right?
Yeah, you need to start thinking about making a will. Everybody does, whatever your personal circumstances. There are a lot of misunderstandings about if you die without a will, where the estate will go. The legal term for dying without a will is dying intestate. Most people think if they're married or living with someone, it's just natural and their whole estate will pass to their partner. This isn't so. If you're married and you don't have children, that is true. Your whole estate will pass to your partner. If you're married with children, your estate will be split. So everything, all your personal bits and pieces will go to your spouse. The first 250,000 will go to your spouse. Thereafter, the estate is split so that half the remainder goes to the spouse and half goes to the children. Now, given that most people's main asset is their home, unless this is held jointly in a very specific way, you could be creating a situation where your spouse doesn't automatically get the home. Also, there's another problem with this, is that inheritance tax isn't paid for any gifts to a married partner. So everything that passes to a husband or wife is tax-free. Whereas in this situation where a proportion of the estate would go to children, it is possible that tax would be payable. And this is exactly what happened to celebrity Rick Mayall. He had a £1.2 million estate. He died suddenly and he didn't leave a will. And so although he was married, quite a large proportion of that estate would have automatically passed to his children and would have automatically been chargeable to tax. However, there are ways and means around this, but that all costs money, that's time, that's stress. If you're unmarried and living with someone, the law lags far behind the reality of families of today, and your partner will get nothing under the intestacy rules. If you have children, your biological children will take the whole estate. If you don't have children, initially the law looks to your parents who will take your estate. If you don't have parents living, then it goes to your siblings. The law carries on with some further blood relatives, not relatives by marriage. But ultimately, if there's no blood relative to take the estate, believe it or not, the crown gets involved. These estates are called bona vacantia estates, and there's a whole department in government that deals with them. And sadly, I have to say that the income from those estates that are unclaimed and there's no blood relatives goes to Prince Charles via the Duchy of Cornwall. And the figures I could find out, he's getting around £500,000 a year, if not more, from these unclaimed estates. So if you don't want Prince Charles and Camilla to dine out a little bit more often, I would suggest you make a will.
Wow. Bona vacanza in Italian is means happy holidays.
Well, there you go. It is for Prince Charles.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're in the unfortunate situation of being a cohabitant and you have a partner who dies and they do not leave a will, unless all your children or their children are over 18 and they all agree that you should share in the estate, you have to apply to court. It's under an act called the Inheritance Provision for Family and Dependents Act, and it is quite a convoluted process, with the court being forced to consider about 13 different grounds and facts, and balancing the needs of you versus the other beneficiaries. It is not a nice place to be. But beyond the obvious tax saving benefits and, you know, not having the complexities of an intestacy, there's lots of other things that a will can do for you. But also, having a will means you appoint someone, an executor, to manage your estate, and their appointment becomes live from the moment you die. In contrast, if you don't have a will, there is nothing anyone can do in your estate until they get a grant of representation, which can be 6-8 months down the line. And so again, if you want things done and you want things done in the way you want them to be done, your estate to pass where you want it to go, it's incredibly important to make a will. Also, you can appoint guardians for your children. So if you've got children who are under 18, especially if you're a single parent, and the other parent is not very involved, you can appoint guardians in case the other parent passes away. And if you've got a residence order, even if the other parent is still alive when you pass away, then your guardianship appointment will supersede their rights of with parental responsibility. So it's really an important thing. Anybody who's a parent of minor children should be making wills to appoint guardians. You also can make specific gifts. I don't know if you're like me, I had some specific items when I was a kid that I loved that were my parents. They weren't worth any money, but my parents obviously would know which ones I liked, which ones my brothers and sisters liked. And if you don't make a will, officially everything gets sold and it's just money. Whereas this way, you can gift over certain items, whether they're worth anything or not. Also, in intestacy, if you've got a second marriage, and your adult children, on an intestacy, all the personal possessions go to the wife or husband. And so family items, including family photographs that are really nothing to do with the second or third or fourth spouse, depending on how exciting your life's been, might go to them rather than the children, which is just not right.
What's involved in making a will? Is it literally just a phone call and a price to pay, or is there quite a few meetings involved?
Okay, yeah, no, it's certainly not just a phone call. We always like to meet our clients. I have got overseas clients because Sherrod's does a fair amount of international work, and even then we will have Skype meetings. It's very important for us. We have to assess that someone understands what they're doing. We have to assess their capacity, discuss the extent of their estate, give some basic inheritance tax advice if that's necessary. Make sure that we understand the extent of their family. Then we draft a will. We send it to the client, check that it's everything they want. Then we meet again and we act as their witnesses. Please let us do that. Whenever we send wills out, I would say we're talking between 95 and 99% that come back and they haven't been executed correctly. And if they're not executed correctly, not signed correctly, it's not a valid will. So lots of problems with that. But no, it's a tailor-made personal process. And so people often balk and they go, well, I can go to WH Smith's or Ryman's and spend £25 to make your own will, by all means. But then those you leave behind may be spending tens of thousands of pounds arguing about the validity of that will. So I would say we may cost a bit more, but we're certainly worth it. And of course, if we get it wrong, you can sue us, but you can't sue your WH Smith's. The other reason I think it's very important now to come to solicitors or people with legal training of significance to make your will is the incredible rise in contentious estates. This is a work that I do in the Sherrod's private client team. And I think from 2007 to 2014, the number of court cases about estates had risen by about 700%. And because the way families are made up now, it's not, you know, your traditional nuclear family, marriages of 40, 50 years in length, one set of children. Often as not, you may have a merged, mixed family. And even if you haven't got that, there's disparate siblings. There may be one person caring more for the elderly relatives than the other. And what we're finding is that somebody may be estranged or not really involved. They're left out of a will. There's completely inadequate explanation for that person being left out of the will, and that does give them a window of opportunity to make a claim under the Acts of Parliament in and say, no, I should have been thought of, I should have been provided for in a will. People get very confused about that, actually. They think people have complete and utter freedom to do whatever they want with their estate without question. they do, but it is subject to the court's eyes looking at it and considering whether it's reasonable and fair. And so again, what we do in these types of situations is prepare quite a detailed statement that sits with the will, will never be considered, will never become a public document unless someone makes a claim. And I think now, given the appetite for contentious estates, it's imperative to go to someone who knows about that, not someone who's necessarily done a 6-week course in will writing and then sets up. They just don't have the knowledge. Not all will writers, because a lot of them have had a lot more legal training. But I would say that if you go to a solicitor, we've done, unfortunately, years and years and years of training. It takes us about 6 or 7 to qualify.
Donna, and also there'll be a lot of people sitting here now listening to this that have got an old will that maybe needs updating, if they've married again or if they've got stepchildren or, you know, these convoluted families that we're talking about nowadays. Would you be able to help rewrite a will?
Yes, we would say even if you haven't had massive change in family circumstances, you should review your wills every 5 to 7 years. And not only because of family changes, but because the law changes. For example, in April 2017, the government brought in a whole new nil rate band, giving most families an additional £150,000 per married person to add to the nil rate band they can claim when they die, i.e. the part of the estate that will not be subject to inheritance tax. So yes, definitely regularly review the will. And it may be we talk to people and say you don't need to change anything. You know, we don't make changes for change's sake.
This podcast is a partner feature with Sherard Solicitors and Radio Verulam. To hear this podcast again, go to radioverulam.com, sherards.com, or you can read about it in Ye Olde Fighting Cock's Times.